Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 19 of English with Tim, the podcast where you can learn English in depth and detail. I've already told you about myself, the same thing, every single week for about 19 weeks, so I'm just going to skip to the advertisement about my small little service, which is Words for the Test, where you can learn hundreds of words for talking about data, or to help you get a much higher score on the vocabulary part of IELTS Task 1 Academic Writing. Also great for anybody who is going to make business presentations. So, this week, what happened in my life this week? Nothing really amazing, except that today, something interesting or something nice happened. I rode my road bike, not my mountain bike, but my road bike, 60 kilometers. I was planning to do 50 kilometers. This summer, I haven't ridden my road bike long distances much. I mean, is 50 kilometers a long distance? Not really, honestly, but it's something, you know, it's pretty significant. And I haven't been riding the road bike as much as I did before, and the road bike has kind of had a renaissance or a rebirth, because, you know, with a mountain bike, you have this kind of absurd situation where to ride the bike, you have to put it on the back of a car and then drive it to a place, a special place where you ride the bike. That takes time. It takes gasoline. It pollutes. And so, yeah, it's a little bit absurd. I love mountain biking, but the nice thing about a road bike is that you put on your clothes, you put on your shoes, helmet, and you walk out the front door, and as you are, you know, taking your first steps out of the door, you are already starting to do what you were planning to do. You're already doing the sport. No driving. Today I rode 60 kilometers, and I came home very slightly sunburned in a few places, and also covered with a crust of salt. I also rode up one of the steepest hills in the city. My fitness level left a little bit to be desired. I felt that going up that hill. I remember going up it a couple years ago, especially 3 years ago when I first got this blue road bike that I have, and kind of powering up the hill. And this time I was, you know, really at the top of it, like, ugh, I was barely making it. It also was a lot hotter today than when I usually ride. I tend to ride up that particular hill when it's a little bit cooler. Anyway, that's my the trivial things from my life from this week. What we're going to do this week is I'm going to tell you some roots of words. And roots, learning words by their roots is not a very common way to learn vocabulary. And actually, one second. What do I mean by roots? So words have three parts. They have prefixes, roots, and suffixes. Prefixes or common ones are things like re, you know, like reread something or redo something, or dis, like disinformation. Then you've got suffixes like er, you know, worker, reader, fighter, driver, and so on. That er is a suffix. Also, the s or es ending on plurals and on the, you know, the he, she, it form of the verb in the present tense, that's also a suffix. So the root is the central part of the word. Not all words have prefixes. Not all words have suffixes. But every word has a root. And roots often repeat between words. So you often have situations like, let's say, perceive, receive, conceive, deceive, and then the derivative forms of them, you know, conception, reception, deception, and so on. And so there's an opinion, which is not super common among English teachers, that one way to learn vocabulary is to take advantage of the fact that those roots repeat in different words and to learn them, because it helps you to remember them. Now, there are some reasons why this opinion, that this is a good way to learn vocabulary, is not a very popular one. One is that teachers just don't really think about it that much. Another one is that one root can be used in many different words, and that those different words are all used at different levels of language mastery. So, you know, you've got one root, and one word that uses the root is a B1 kind of level word, low intermediate. Another one is, you know, a very advanced word. Another one's basic. And so it doesn't make that much sense usually to teach people these roots unless they've gotten to a higher level. Another thing is that roots change enough from word to word that some students end up asking, like, wait, is this really the same root? You know, it looks a little bit different. And so a lot of roots were first used like thousands of years ago in Latin or Greek, or even the very old Proto-Indo-European, which is the language that gave rise to, you know, most of the languages spoken in Europe, and a lot of the ones spoken in Asia, especially South Asia. So, you know, English, as I've told you in a previous episode, English and Polish and Hindi and Farsi spoken in Iran and Greek, they all come from one very, very ancient language. So because these roots, my point is that because these roots are so old, they have had a lot of time to change into forms that are sometimes a bit hard to recognize. Another thing is that with some roots, like I gave the example at the beginning, deceive, receive, perceive, and so on, that sieve, well, it's not actually clear anymore what that means. You know, it actually meant something like take in Latin, and it ends up being very abstract, and people, you know, students are scratching their head, well, take, what does, you know, deceive have to do with take? Or receive, okay, receive, you take something, okay. Conceive, well, that means that, you know, you imagine something. Take, together, con means in Latin together. It's confusing, and so not always, though. So I'm not going to give you the ones that are confusing and that don't have a clear meaning. So these are real problems, but I still think that roots are a fun and interesting approach. I use them a lot when learning Polish and when learning Russian and also German. In Slavic languages, they're actually a really common way to learn vocabulary, because, you know, the meanings repeat. And I remember one specific book that I had for learning Russian. It was called Leveraging Your Russian with Roots, Prefixes, and Suffixes. Super, super effective book. With German, yeah, there's a lot of roots in there, but sometimes they're also, like I said, like with sieve, you know, it's not really understandable always what they mean, and it's not a common approach. Now, in English-speaking countries, among, like, English school children or high school kids, that actually is not a super common way, but it's not unheard of to learn vocabulary that way. So, like I said, I think that learning using roots is fun and interesting, and it also, one of the biggest advantages, besides that it's fun, is that it often happens that learning roots results in you learning, like, really advanced meanings of words. These are what I call D1 or even D2 vocabulary. You know, we have this scale A1, A2, B1, B2 that everybody uses all the time. I call these words D1 vocabulary or D2 vocabulary because they're words that even for native speakers, they sound kind of smart. And when you use them, they make you sound super smart and educated and cool. And the fact that they're advanced doesn't mean that they're difficult to learn. Some of them are, but generally not. So let's get to the first root that I want to talk about today. We're going to do four of them. First root is vor. And vor in Latin meant to eat. I don't know what the actual verb was, but you can see in this root, you know, how it repeats in a lot of different words that it means something like eat. So the first word is devour. If you devour something, you quickly eat something. I'll give you a couple examples. So first example, after I ran a marathon, I came home and devoured an entire large pizza. Now, you can also use this in a metaphorical sense. So, example, when I was a kid, I used to just devour comic books. I would spend the whole afternoon reading them. Devour comic books, you read large amounts of them. Another example, also metaphorical meaning. If we devour all of the natural resources on the planet, there will be nothing left over for our kids. Next word with the root vor, D1 meaning. So, cool word, voracious. If a person is voracious, that person tends to eat large amounts of food. So, for example, my small nephew is a voracious eater. True story. When he was about 1 year old, we took him out to a restaurant and they gave him a grilled cheese sandwich, an entire grilled cheese sandwich, and a pile of French fries. And he ate all of the grilled cheese. He ate all of the French fries. And I did some calculating, and it was about the equivalent of 2.5 large pizzas with, like, maybe 2 large servings of fries. And the emotions I felt, pride, disgust, wonderment. So yes, my nephew is at times a voracious eater, but not always. You know how kids are. Metaphorical meanings of voracious. She's a voracious reader. She reads one book every week. Voracious reader, pretty common phrase, actually. Next example of voracious. The United States is a voracious consumer of oil and gas. Fortunately, that's becoming less true. You know, people are using more renewable energies. Some other words. A carnivore. Carnivore is a person or an animal that eats meat, like a Tyrannosaurus rex is a carnivore, a shark is a carnivore. A herbivore is an animal that eats plants, not really a person. You could call a person a herbivore, but it's not something that people generally do. So the dinosaurs that people don't usually think about as much were herbivores. You know, people think of the carnivores like T-Rex. Stegosaurus was a herbivore, or squirrels are herbivores, as I understand. Next word is omnivore. An omnivore is a person or an animal that really eats everything. Both meat and plants and mushrooms and whatever, you know, they can eat, they will eat. And the last one with vore is locavore. So a locavore is a person who eats food, only food that is locally produced. So why would they do this? Why would anybody do this? I mean, imagine you live in Greenland and you want to eat a mango. Why shouldn't you? A mango is delicious and nothing grows in Greenland. Well, most people don't live in places like Greenland where only, you know, a few things grow, you know, fish, potatoes, garlic, onions, and, you know, maybe a few other things growing in greenhouses. So locavore, why do people do that? They do it because of environmental reasons. Transporting food takes a lot of energy and, you know, pollutes the air. So people who are locavores, they try to eat locally made food. Next root is nos. Now, there is some variation in this one. Sometimes you're going to get a nos, sometimes it's going to be nose, sometimes it's going to be noi or nox, but you've got that N-O in there. So the first one is, the most common word is noise. Stop making noise, I'm trying to study. Another word that has this root, very common, annoy. It really annoys me when you call me at dinner time, so why do you keep doing it? Next one, next word, noisome. Now I'm going to have a list of these, in the on the website, so you can just look at them. Noisome means having a terrible smell. This reminds me, one time I was traveling on a train in France, and the compartment, it was an open compartment, and it was, you know, it's not an overnight train, and it just filled with this really terrible smell. It smelled like somebody had just taken old socks and made soup out of them. And everybody was looking around and just like, my God. And you know, this is a country where people eat cheese that stinks. And everybody was kind of shocked and amazed and you know, kind of laughing about the smell. And what was actually happening was that there was a French guy who had his wife with him, who was, she was not from France. I think she might have been from Philippines or something. She had made, some soup, a large amount of soup, and she was continuously serving him this soup into a bowl. You could hear it splashing with this big spoon, and then you could hear him, you know, very happily slurping it up. You could, and then, you know, then you could hear, glug, 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 as she poured more soup into his bowl. He just continuously ate it, and it was the most noisome, disgusting, terrible smell. Oh my God. Maybe the soup was very delicious. I don't know. And I can't say with any certainty where she was from. Yeah, there's also some pretty noisome smelling things that you can eat here in the United States. Next word, Obnoxious. Obnoxious. It means showing an... and by the way, I forgot something. Noisome really is a D1 or even a D2 level word. This is a really sharp sounding word. And actually, not even all English speakers will know what it means. Next one, obnoxious. Obnoxious means showing an incredible level of disrespect for other people and their wishes. So, first example, kids can be really fun, but they can also be completely obnoxious. Next example, I'm so happy that my obnoxious neighbors moved away. They were always having loud parties during the week and leaving trash all over the hallway. Next word with the root nos is nocebo. This is kind of the opposite, and nocebo is kind of the opposite of placebo. A placebo is something that a doctor gives you and says is medicine, but in fact contains nothing. So scientists and doctors often give people placebos when they're trying to understand how effective a medicine is. So, well, a nocebo, what's a nocebo then? The nocebo effect happens when you expect that a medicine or other treatment, for example, a surgery, will cause you harm, and then you experience that harm. For example, your grandfather told you that aspirin causes your nose to bleed. You are afraid of aspirin, you have a terrible headache, you take an aspirin, and your nose starts bleeding. That is the nocebo effect. Fortunately, I don't think it's too common. Well, I'm not a doctor, so who am I to say? Now, talking about placebo reminded me of the root plas. So P-L-A-C is how you'd spell it. You can hear this word, I'm just going to deal with this word very shortly. You can hear this root in placebo, pleasure, please, pleasant, and also placid. That's P-L-A-C-I-D. Placid is kind of a D1 word that means just peaceful, like a placid personality. A placid lake, that means, you know, one that's not experiencing any wind or storms or anything. Just very calm and peaceful. Placid morning. Placid mood. So, last root for today is br, B-R. Now, there's some variation in this one. The BR in different languages, I'm going to compare this to different languages because this is not like a Greek or Latin root. This is a Proto-Indo-European one. And because it's so old, it has shown a lot of changes. In particular, the BR has in some cases turned into a PR. Because b and p are really the same sound. With one of them, you use your vocal cords. With the other one, you do not. And then another change is that the p sometimes changes to an f. So you could see this f p to f change in pairs of words like German word schiff in English is ship. So ship, English, German, schiff. Or in Russian, and I'm sure in some other Slavic languages, plamya is flame. So pla, you know, fla, the P to F. Also, you're going to see the letter R move around a little bit sometimes. So anyway, let's get to the first word. The first word is burden. A burden in Polish is brzemię. If you don't know Polish, you'll say bzio. Well, what I mean there, where's the R in there at all? Well, if you see it on paper, it's spelled B-R-Z-E-M-I-E with a little hook on the bottom of it, and that R-Z in Polish is pronounced zio. Sorry if my Polish pronunciation is not amazing. So burden in Polish is bzemia, and in Russian it's bremia, and in French, it is fardeau. So you might again say, "Wait, fardeau, that doesn't sound like burden." Well, change the F to a P and then the P to a B and you get bardeau. So in the metaphorical sense, the Chinese economy has a huge debt burden, 282% of GDP. It can also be used as a verb. I'm sorry if talking about my problems burdens you. Last example, again, metaphorical meaning. It used to be that if your past was a burden, you could just move to another city or country and start again, but because of social media, a person can't escape their past anymore. Similar word is the verb bear. More familiar to most people is the past tense form born. So bear is the present tense, the second form is bore, and the third form is born. So, for example, she bore her first child when she was 25. Actually, nobody really says this in conversation. In written texts, yeah, you can definitely see this, more formal ones. In conversation, you would just say she had her first child. Next example, with a more common form, born, I was born in 1980. Next word with this bruh kind of root is pregnant. So again, change the P to a B and you get bruh, pregnant. And interestingly, when I was in high school, I learned Spanish, and the teacher was always warning us that embarrassed does not mean embarazada. So embarazada and embarrassed, they obviously sound very similar. And I discovered later that, that has this root, embarazada, the EM is just some kind of prefix, and the bar, it's that root again. So if a woman is embarazada, she is pregnant. Also in English, embarrassed, that BR root again. If a person is embarrassed, the person feels bad because other people know something about this person that they don't want other people to know, or other people see something about this person that, they don't want others to see. For example, a person feels embarrassed when, they are seen naked. The person's embarrassed. So what does that have to do with the BR root? Well, it means that you kind of feel a burden. You feel an emotional burden, something heavy. My God, I don't want to feel this way. I know that's a bit abstract, but... And I'm also, to be clear, I am not somebody who has a deep background in ancient languages, and I can't tell you, with this particular word, I can't tell you with 100% certainty that that's the connection between embarrassed and burden, but my intuition tells me that it is. Next word, freight. This is spelled differently, so F-R-E-I-G-H-T. So, in Polish and in German, this word is Fracht. And again, change the F to a P, and then the P to a B, and you get Breit. That's not the actual word, but you can again see the mutations. So, freight. What is freight? It's a very large amount of goods that is transported together at the same time by boat, truck, train, etc. So, example sentence. One reason that passenger trains are not popular in the U.S. is that freight trains get priority. True story. You want to arrive in town on a passenger train, in my city, it arrives at about 2 o'clock in the morning. Super inconvenient. And that's because the freight trains, they have priority. So a derivative form of that is, of the word freight, is freighter. So a freighter is a boat, specifically a boat that carries freight. So, example, it takes freighters about 20 days to cross the Pacific. Last word of this last route is porter. Now, you probably heard this, or maybe you've heard this in connection with a certain style of beer that's, from Ireland. That's not the meaning I'm talking about. A porter is a person who works at a hotel, or possibly also an airport, whose job it is to carry your baggage for you. So I think that's pretty clear. The P changes to a B, and, burden carrying, this person carries a burden for you. So example sentence, the porter carried my luggage from the car to my room. Let's just do a quick run through of all the words again. Vor, devour, voracious, carnivore, herbivore, omnivore, locavore, root with N-O-C or N-O-X or whatever, noise, annoy, noisome, like a noisome smell, obnoxious, like an obnoxious child, nocebo, root with plas, is placebo, pleasure, please, pleasant, and placid, like placid character, placid lake, placid morning, placid mood. Then we have this BR root. So we have burden, we have bear and born, we have pregnant, we have freight, we have freighter, and we have porter. Now, I just came to think of this. In Polish, the verb for take is brać. So that's also kind of similar. Picking something up, you know, something, you know, a weight or a burden. So anyway, thanks everybody for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this approach with roots, and tell me what you think about it in the comments. See you next Monday.